It's very cold and very early, but nevertheless, five members of KC PAC line up in the snow for roll call.
Single file, okay?
Before they begin their 101st consecutive session of Sunday morning plein air painting.
Scout Lenos.
Present.
Senior member Bingaman.
Present.
Journeyman.
Today, KC PAC is a unique community with over 100 members, but it started with just four artists, Robert Bingaman, Kelly John Clark, Lee Pachocki, and Nicole Mauser. The friends craved a creative challenge. They felt like their artwork was stale. And then suddenly, it hit them. Plein air painting. Here's Bingaman.
It's out of that kind of stir-crazy absurdity where you don't really know the full rationale behind your thoughts, but we've kind of looked at each other and we're like, let's go plein air paint. Let's go outside. Just like, yeah, let's go tomorrow.
But despite their enthusiasm, Bingaman admits that the first week was a disaster.
It was a ridiculous experience. I was completely unprepared. It was awful.
It was awful, he says, because the four of them had virtually no experience plein air painting. En plein air is a French term meaning in the open air. In other words, painting outdoors. The style came into vogue via the French Impressionists, who did much of their work outdoors. For example, Claude Monet and his water lilies are the countrysides of Pierre-Auguste Renoir. But the KC PAC founders didn't take inspiration from Monet or Renoir. Bingaman says they were inspired by Kansas City plein air painter Wilbur Niewald.
Wilbur Niewald, who you've probably seen in Loose Park. He always seems happiest when he's out there painting. And there's a kind of peace or presence in the moment. And I've always found that inspiring.
Like Bingaman, founder Kelly John Clark also appreciates Wilbur Niewald and his serene approach to painting. In fact, he's adopted a similar approach himself. He says plein air painting makes him feel peaceful. It makes him present.
I like how it forces me to be quiet and patient. I am thinking about how am I going to make what's in front of me be on this paper. As opposed to focusing on this larger project that I might have bound up in my head somewhere.
In his studio, Clark doesn't work observationally. His work is more conceptual. He says he has to take breaks from the studio because it's easy to get kind of lost in there.
You get too far into your studio and it's just kind of a rabbit hole and you go down it and then you start making work about your work and work that is so entirely theoretical that it becomes unmoored from the world. And plein air painting sort of returns me to the world.
Although artists must focus on the world at hand when they paint outdoors, plein air painting, as a pastime, is a leisurely, laid-back kind of pursuit. Because of this, the founders worried that KC PAC could be just a lark, something they did for a couple of months and then forgot about. Bingaman explains.
There was something that we innately knew at the beginning when we were doing this. The quiet, serious end of it was, we need a reason to be committed to this because it's hard.
So, to make it more official, they created structure. They put rules in place. There are rituals and secret ceremonies. There are different ranked members with special titles. They even fly a KC PAC flag before each session begins. It's kind of like the military, if the military were made up of artists. Bingaman explains.
The rules exist as a way of drawing a line around what we're doing.
What are the rules?
Well, how much time do we have?
Obviously, these rules make KC PAC a bit unusual. But it's not just rules that set them apart from other landscape painters. It's their speed. They start and finish an entire painting in just 1 or 2 hours each week. This is challenging, Bingaman says.
That's the hardest part about painting outside. In a two-hour session, it takes me an hour and a half to really feel like I know what I'm even looking at. We don't really stop and look at a tree. If you did, there's enough there to satisfy you for 2 hours. I mean, it's overwhelming, but it's beautiful.
Perhaps it seems a bit extreme to describe a tree as overwhelming. But Bingaman would say that if you're not overwhelmed, you're not actually looking. And not looking, he says, is a very natural defense mechanism. We transition from indoor to outdoor environments literally dozens of times per day. And this change of scenery is severe, he says. But we're able to make the transition from inside to outside seamlessly because we've numbed ourselves against so much visual stimulus.
The amount of information that we're given in terms of sensory when we step outside, it's incredible. And I think that we've gotten really used to that by sort of numbing ourselves to it, by turning it off. Not unlike the way you see people on a subway car in New York. They're handling the incredible number of people in the subway car by really ignoring them. I feel like that's what we're doing when we step outside every day.
Back at Swope Park, member Tristan T. Lander is huddled down next to a concrete monument organizing her art supplies. Like Bingaman, she thinks it's rare for people to look, really look, at the things that are in front of them. But not because they're overwhelmed. It's just because they're busy.
We look at the first two sentences of articles and flip through people's pictures and just get the gist of them so fast.
And when you look at things so fast, you miss a lot, she says.
You need to sit and observe something for a long period of time to really begin to understand what you're looking at. The details seem to come out the longer that you sit and look.
For example, on this overcast, frozen morning, at first glance, the landscape looks bleak and lifeless. But there's actually a lot in there, she says.
In the wintertime, there's a lot of color in there. But when you look at the whole picture, it looks sort of gray. Yeah, there's actually a lot of rhythm in this. The trees and then the little wisps of grass.
T. Lander describes these Sundays as a meditation on looking. And she's grateful to have people to share that with.
It's just so nice to be aware of things and know that other people appreciate that as well. That's hopeful.
Bingaman finds hope in Casey Pack as well. He hopes that maybe, just maybe, the actions of Casey Pack could inspire other Kansas Cityans to appreciate their surroundings too.
I really love the idea that someone who's from Kansas City, who maybe has some of that sense that it's not a destination like other places are, can kind of stop and realize, oh, this that I'm looking at, what's in front of me, has been deemed worthy by an artist to paint.
After an hour, the group reconvenes for what they call the Bounty of Wonder.
Bounty of Wonder. That's the best part.
Which basically means they line their paintings up and admire each other's completed work.
Ooh, yours is awesome. What'd you use?
And then, of course, they close the session with the KC Pack cheer.
KC Pack Hunter!
Lauren Kirby, KCUR News.